David Grant, and the title of his presentation is Soybean or Soybase, a comprehensive database for soybean genetic and genomic data.
This is the group that's currently working on Soybase that's doing the actual development. Of course, the truth is that what we do is develop a database. The community develops the data. So if I listed the people who had content in the database, that's all I talk about. It'd just be slide after slide after slide of soybean researchers. So I'm speaking here as a representative of this group, which is representing the very large soybean community. Like everybody, I'll show you an overview of what we're going to talk about, a little bit of an overview of Soybase, just to give you a feel for sort of some of the things we have there. And then at the end, some of the new data sets, the very large data sets that we've been given and asked to incorporate. And I want to give you some ideas about how we're planning to do that. Just a little bit of philosophy before we get started. A database like Soybase or Grain Genes or T3 really has two goals in mind. We think about this quite a bit. One of them is to be a dictionary. If you have a specific question, where is the genome sequence for my favorite gene, we'll give you back an answer. It's right here. So it's a detail. But I think the power of a database like this really is a data exploration tool. It's a browsing tool. So you don't really know what your question is. You don't really know what the answer is going to look like. But you know that it's important that you understand the concept that you care about. What we spend a lot of time doing is thinking about how to build interfaces that let you follow your nose through the data. That is, just look at what's there, explore it, try to make sense of what the community has accumulated over the last 50 years. So that's what I'm going to emphasize as I go through here. Assume that you can always ask a question, but I'm going to show you ways that you might want to use this as an exploratory tool. When you come into Soybase, you see this front page. Everybody has a similar front page. There are two parts on here. The stuff on the right is changeable. It lists upcoming meetings, news about Soybase, things like that. The thing on the left is what's important. This is a front page toolbox. From here, you can get to or do most of the major important things that you can do at Soybase. And I'm going to come back to this page, so I'm just going to zoom through it right now. It's a very large system, larger than I give our talks on this, and even then talk about only the high points. So we've built a navigation tool. We call it a sitemap, but it's more than a sitemap. That is, what we do is in each section, we try to bring together all of the things in Soybase related to that concept, to that subject. So here's an example. On the left is a list of, in very small print that you can't read, the sitemap, the navigation map that we've built for Soybase. On the right, I want to show you, just a couple of the subsections. And if you look through there, and if you had a chance to come to Soybase and look around, what you'd see is this is an organization of how the data in Soybase are organized, what things you can do with those data, and how you can collect the data to download to your own shop to do other things with it. So this is not this is not how Soybase is organized. This is how users perceive of Soybase, how they use the content of Soybase. So it's not really a navigation map. It's not a site map, but it's a navigation map. And for those of you that come to Soybase, I encourage you to go to this and look at what's there. I would be willing to bet large amounts of money that no matter how familiar you are with the system, there are things in this list that you haven't seen before. It's so complex that nobody probably but me knows everything that's in there. And some days I'm not so sure. Back to the toolbox. And this, I'm just going to talk about it a little bit because you guys can read faster than I can talk. But there's two parts of it that I'm going to bring up later. The first one is that top search all of Soybase. That's a single box where you just put in whatever you care about. The concept is that this is, you don't need to know how we organize data at Soybase. You don't need to know whether this particular name is a gene or a QTL or a trait or a metabolic pathway step. You shouldn't have to worry about how we've organized the data. You should only care about oil biosynthesis. What does Soybase know about that? So you can just put in the word oil, and we will tell you everything we know about the concept of oil biosynthesis. QTL genes, everything. You don't have to worry about that. The other one that I'll talk about a little bit is BLAST. All databases like Soybase have a BLAST tool, and we do too. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of details about that. A little bit further down, we have a quick jump where you can get to any one of the chromosomes, the sequence chromosomes, or a quick jump to any one of the genetic maps. So if you happen to care about linkage group K, you can get there immediately from the front page. You don't have to move around to find that. You don't have to know where that is in the Soybase hierarchy. We just provide those tools right on the front page. The sitemap is there. We have a number of tutorials that have been put together to help users understand how to use some of the tools that we've put together. I'm not going to go any further than this, but this is for people that are using Soybase or coming to it new, this is a really good place to start. It gives you an idea of what can be done. These are video tutorials, and so we walked through doing some of these things with a voice overlay, so you can learn how to do it. I've been told that these are quite useful for students, new students coming into labs. It's a way to find out how to do things quickly. Back to the front page. Here is, again, I mentioned putting the idea of putting in oil as a search term. We do that, and we get back is what I call the bean page. This is a summary of everything we know about oil biosynthesis in soybean at Soybase. All of the genes, all of the maps, all the metabolic pathways, all the mutants, everything. So if one of these boxes is empty, we don't know anything about it, and there's no point looking any further. For a box which is not empty, clicking on that takes you to another page that gives you all of the information about that subject. So if you clicked on, find one that looks here. Click here. It's going to take you to a list of all of the genes in soybean that are known to be associated with oil biosynthesis in one way or another. This is not a lexical search. This is not only a lexical search. So you may open up one of these genes, the record for this gene, and the three letters oil never appear in that record. It might be a gene involved in linoleic acid biosynthesis. So if you did a lexical search, just looking for those characters, you would never find that record. But we know that that's involved in oil biosynthesis. We've tagged it with metadata so that when you ask that question, you retrieve all of the related records without having to know where they came from. Everything is just shown on this page. I told you we had BLAST. We do, like everyone else. This is a standard BLAST interface that all of you are used to seeing. These are the BLAST target databases that we have right now. They're subsets of the various genomics and expression data. We have the organeller DNAs here. There are mutant collections in soybean, so the genes or sequences affected by the mutants are available as BLAST databases. So if you have a favorite gene, you can BLAST and ask, are there any mutants known to hit this gene? Now, it may have been an Arabidopsis gene that you found, so you don't have a soybean name for it. You can't search for it by name. But you can ask, are there any mutants that cover this sequence? So it's a browsing tool for you to come in with whatever you know and discover quickly everything we know about that's related to that subject. Standard BLAST output, all of you have seen this before. We've also developed a tool that shows you on all 20 chromosomes all of the positions of the BLAST hits. This is sometimes useful. If in this case, you can see cases where there's clearly duplicated genes for this particular sequence. That might be important to you. If you know that there are QTL in this region, then if you know that the QTL you care about is right here, the gene you blasted with can't be involved in that QTL. So it's a way of, again, comparing your results to everything else that's known. This is something that we released a year or so ago in collaboration with my colleague, Michelle Graham. There's lots of tools that people use that the output of that tool is a list of genes of interest. It may be an expression experiment or a mutant experiment or who knows what, but you end up with a list of genes. So one of the things you might ask is, well, given this list of genes, how are they related? What do they do? What can I learn from them? And, of course, a standard one is the GoTerm enrichment tool. So we have one. You provide us with a list of genes. We provide you back with the standard pie diagrams for the three aspects of Go. These right here, I don't show you any of it here now, but these are available. One more click in, and we'll give you a publication-ready version of that picture. So it's ready to be picked up and dropped straight into the publication that you want to do. So you need not regenerate them. There's a bunch of other data that comes along with this and other analysis that I'm not showing, but this is worth playing with because it is so powerful for understanding your list of genes. And again, we can show you the list of all of them, all the positions on a chromosomes. In this case, the project I chose basically covers the gene space in soybean, but there might be times when it doesn't. You might want to find if the genes that you've identified or happen to all be clustered, they're related to each other because they're physically clustered or they're not. Just knowing that can be of interest. Now, really quickly, going through, we have genetic maps, of course. The genetic maps in soybeans are displayed in CMAP. We have an addition that we've added to it so that rolling over, putting the mouse over any one of these objects on here immediately highlights everything else related to that on the map. So if you roll over a marker, then all of the QTL light up that are associated with that marker. Or if you roll over a QTL, it of course lights up the markers and it lights up all the other QTL that marker is associated with. So this is again an exploratory tool. We have a contextual menu that lets you get information about the QTL, which I'll show you here. We'll not go through it any further. It's just everything we know about that QTL. We have the ability to jump from the genetic map to the sequence map. This was mentioned a little bit earlier in one of the earlier conversations. What we do is take the flanking genetic markers that are also on the sequence map and show you that region in the sequence map. So this marker and this marker flanked the QTL and says that this is the region covered by the QTL. QTL are genetic entities, so they don't have firm edges. We can't really put them on the sequence map, but we can show you the region that they would go if we could put them on the sequence map, and that's what we do here. We have, of course, a sequence map. There's the entry. There have been two assemblies in soybeans so far, the first assembly and the second assembly. For historical reasons, we maintain both of them, and you can jump back and forth between them. As Stephen mentioned, we have structures. There's the comparison between the two assemblies. So if your particular gene is moved, you'd be able to tell that that's happened. And then here's the information about the last two genome, whole genome duplications in soybean. So you can see where the genomic centenary blocks are. When you zoom all the way in, you get down to the genes. You can ask questions about the genes, one of which is, tell me everything you know about it. The other one is, see this on the genetic map. Well, there's what we know about it. The picture always shows you the gene model structure for the two assemblies, if that gene model was in both assemblies. You can see how things changed, which may be important. If you started off your project on assembly one, want to move it into assembly two, you can see how the differences are. We have annotations and a lot of stuff that falls off the bottom of this screen. Everything we know about it. And you have the opportunity to say, where is that gene on the genetic map? Now, that gene has never been genetically mapped, but it's flanked by these two markers, so it falls in this region right here. And you can now ask, are there any QTL in the region that might be related to the function of that gene? So it's a way of going back and forth between the genetic and sequence maps. On the sequence map, we also have the genetic markers. And in this case, we have the SNPs on the SNP50K chip. If you zoom all the way in, you can see the individual positions of the SNPs, and we also show the allele frequencies for five different subsets of the soybean germplasm. So you can see if that the allele distribution here is different from here, and that may tell you something about how to interpret a GWAS study or how to interpret the structure of the chromosomes across the germplasm pool. Transposable elements have been mapped into soybean. This is the picture of the transposable elements. You can see where they fall relative to the genes. Mutants, a lot of mutants in soybean. Fast neutron generated indels and insertion mutants from exogenous transposable elements. We show those relative to the genes. You can zoom in and see, is there a deletion or a mutant that covers the gene that you care about? Large data sets. And these are new things that have come up. Working with our collaborators at Grin, we would put together a different interface that lets you search GRIN. These are all of that, the GRIN data descriptors. We've gotten the data for those. We've built a page that lets you quickly go through and find the data that you care about. This represents all of the data descriptors, and underneath this, there's data for 20,000 or so soybean germplasm. So the way we've developed this is you come in and pick the particular descriptors you care about. So we've checked a few of them here. The next step takes you to this page. This has two parts, and I'll talk about them separately. On the left, it allows you to identify germplasm that meet the phenotypic criteria that you've chosen. So for flowering, this is the range of flowering dates, flowering values in the data set. So there's no point in asking for something of 600 that doesn't exist. And then we give you the choice to narrow that range down if you choose to. Greater than, less than, that sort of thing, the usual sorts of things. And we have drop-down menus that let you totally customize what germplasm you're looking for. Once you've identified all of the traits and the values, press the go button, we give you back a list of all the germplasm that meet those criteria. And then that list is downloadable. You can get it as a file and use it for whatever purposes you had in mind. The other half of this is the inverse of that. For the traits that you cared about, you provide us a list of germplasm, and we give you back a table of the data for those traits for the germplasm that you provided. So we either give you a tool to go from trait values to a germplasm list, or a tool that goes from a germplasm list to a table of trait values, all based on the data in GRIN and a few other sets that we've added to it. We've mined GEO and other places to get all of the expression experiments, gene expression experiments that we can find for soybean. There's 140 some odd of them that we've identified so far. If you think about it, and you probably have thought about it, 140 experiments, all of which have multiple tissues and treatments, is probably going to be very difficult to find the parts of that you care about. So we've given it some thought and come up with a way of allowing people to rapidly find the subset of those data that you want to see and explore. So this is an example. It's a list of some of the gene expression studies that we know about, and our organizing way right now is by tissue. So these are all of the, well, it's not all of them certainly, but these are some of the experiments that are related to leaflets. Descriptive experiments are just that. Those are atlases. And experimental treatments are where there's been a contrast in treatments, drought versus not, treated with a manganese or not, something like that. And we have it for various tissues. There's lots and lots of this. This is just an example. So you pick the one you care about, and you get some information about that experiment, including all of the tissues that they looked at. So you can now choose, perhaps you only care about these two, but you really want to see those across experiments. Well, within an experiment, you choose those two and say, show me this on the genome browser. But if you want to compare across experiments, you can accumulate these in a shopping cart. Go through all of the expression experiments that you want to go through. When you got your shopping cart filled up, you take it and now just look at it. We can pass that off to the sequence browser, and you can now see the multiple experiments that have now zoomed in around a particular set of duplicated, triplicated genes. And you can see the expression across tissue, across experiments. Very similar concept for methylation data that people provided to us. Almost at the end. Same concept. We have lots of experiments. These are very, very, very large data sets. Each one of these lines along here in this table is about 9 gigs of data, 9 gigabytes of data. That's more than I'm willing to process by hand. And so we've done a little bit of analysis on this. Again, choose an experiment, get the ability to see something about the experiment, choose the sub-tissues that you cared about, or all of them, but maybe a subset, and pass this off to the genome browser. And again, we spent some time trying to figure out how to show these data in useful ways. And we've chosen two. Here it is, the data for all of, there are three kinds of methylation that you can imagine, CGs, CHGs, and CHH and CHGs. So here we have all three together. So there's all the methylation around these genes in leaf tissue. things that go up are on the Watson strand, and things that go down are on the Crick strand. That's the up and down part. And we've color-coded the three kinds of methylation. And down here, we've separated out the types of methylation by tissue. And so you can begin to see that not all methylation is created equal. This kind is much, around this gene, there's much less of this kind than of this kind. So it's a way to explore the methylation around the genes that you care about and understand how those are related to the genes that you care about. And again, you can start combining things. So here's the last slide. There's the expression around those genes, and there's the methylation around those genes. There's surely information in that, which would be hard to get in without some sort of tool like this. Those of us that are really good with computational biology could take the raw data and learn from the raw data, but most of us are not that good. And so we've tried to think of ways to let people browse the data, identify things which are interesting, and focus just down on that. And that's where I'll stop. The website, cleverly named soybase.org, for those of you that care about soybean, I would encourage you to look there. For those of you that don't care about soybean, you might want to look anyway as a way of perhaps getting ideas that could be passed off to the curators of the websites that you do care about. All of we curators talk to each other all the time, trying to share ideas. But as Stephen mentioned, we're all really short of hands. And so knowing what the community wants helps me decide where to spend resources. And I'm certain that my colleagues feel the same way. So if you see something that we've done, the other curators know about that, but if they hear from you that you really want this, it may move it up the priority list. Of course, it may not do. They may find that's a really bad idea, but it's a possibility they move it up the priority list. And with that, I'll stop and be glad to take questions.